I want to extend greetings of love to each of you this afternoon. Certainly enjoyed the fellowship over lunchtime there. The title of my message this afternoon I was asked to bring here is, How Well Is Your Heart Beating? I have to give you the backdrop of this message before we understand the message. In August of 2014, last year, was a typical Sunday morning. I was there studying for a message. My wife was there beside me within 10 feet combing her hair. And the next thing I knew, she said, oh my, and down on the floor she went. That was it. She stopped breathing. I thought I knew what heart problems were. My father had heart problems all his life. You know, the medical world is concerned about the warning signs of heart failure. You know, God is concerned about the warning signs of spiritual heart failure. And she lay there on the floor. I could not get her to talk. My children were upstairs, yet I called my children down. My wife started to turn blue and gray. Called the ambulance. They were there, and she wasn't breathing well, yet it took quite a bit of time when that first breath came. Probably 5 minutes. She wasn't too well whenever the ambulance took her out on the stretcher. She didn't understand. She didn't know where she was at. You know, this morning I told you in the message this morning, the sometime God touches the most very important thing in your life. God touched my most valuable possession, dear ones. It's in his hands. I went to the doctor. I had no idea. My wife had heart problems. And into the hospital, I said to the doctors, I said, why are you going after the heart? They said, Marvin, it's a life or death issue. And so it is spiritually. Through the process of their diagnosis, she had ventricular fibrillation. I said to the doctor, I said, I never heard of it. He looked at me, he said, Marvin, he said, the reason you don't, mostly they die. I praise God this afternoon that God spared my wife's life. But also this afternoon, God is interested in our spiritual hearts. He's interested in the warning signs, as the doctors are in the medical world. That's the backdrop of this message. The medical world is very concerned about a healthy heart, proper diet, and proper exercise. The heart is a life or death issue. There at home, after my wife got home, and she has an ICD, and she's working well, and it's working well and fine today. But there at home, she has a calendar. And on that calendar is green. That's the signs of a healthy heart. And there's yellow. That's the signs of caution. You better do something go into heart failure. And then there's red. Do something about it or die. You know, I thought about those in the spiritual life. That's there also. In our spiritual lives. Red is heart failure. You could die. But you know what? Those signs are there for my wife. But you know, God has those same warning signs for you and I. In the scriptures, the word heart is mentioned anywhere from 900 to 1,000 times. God is very concerned about our hearts, dear ones, our spiritual heart this afternoon. Proverbs 4:23 says, out of the heart are the issues of life. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Lord looks on the heart. For Samuel 16:7 says that. In the heart, character is built. What's inside the heart is the source of all decisions, affections and motives, desires and loyalties. That's why God is concerned about our hearts. 1 Chronicles 29:17 says, He tries the heart and has pleasure in uprightness. The Lord knows what's inside my heart this afternoon. He knows what's inside your heart. And we can't hide it. Proverbs 23:7 says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why the Lord's concerned about our heart this afternoon. The spiritual heart is where the center of my affections are. My will is there. My motives are there. It's really who I am. It's really who you are. That's why God is so concerned about our heart. You know, I hear many professing Christians say, the heart is all that matters. Is it? We'd like to look at that issue this afternoon. We'd like to take a closer look at that later on in this message. We'd like to analyze that question. First part of this message I'd like to look at is, what kind of a heart does the Lord want you and I to have? What kind of spiritual heart does he want us to have? Psalms 51:9 says, Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. The Lord's the one that can clean us up. He's the one who cleaned this brother up behind his pulpit. Renew a right spirit within me. Allow him to. We must make the choice, but we can't do it on our own. Psalms 51:17 says, The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. God is open to the heartbroken heart. Giving up of my will gets God's attention this afternoon. I yielded an open heart before God and a teachable spirit gets God's attention in my life and yours. Psalms 24:4 says, He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. God is looking for a pure heart in my life and in yours. Not going after the vain things in life. We have a lot of choices out there in life. What are you going after and what am I going after? Is it the things that matter? We have a lot of opportunities, dear ones, but are we making the right choices in life? That's a challenge for us. In light of eternity, the things that really matter. Psalms 84:2b says, My heart and my flesh cries out to God. Do I see the need of God in my life the way I ought to? Do you see the need of God in your life the way you ought to? Psalms 86:12 says, I will praise the Lord my God with all my heart, and will glorify thy name forevermore. The Lord wants all of our heart. If he has our heart, he will control our life and practice, and he will be glorified. Psalms 97:11-12 says, Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Dear ones, there's an inner joy that comes from knowing Jesus. We reflect his holiness and rejoice and give thanks for what God has done for us. We talked about it this morning. Psalms 112:7-8 says, He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed on trusting the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees the desires upon the enemies. Our hearts need to be fixed and established in serving Christ. Psalms 119:10-11 says, With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The Lord wants 100%, not 90%, not 95%, But he wants 100% of my heart and life. If he has our heart, we won't wander from his commandments, what he says here. We will keep his word in our hearts. It's a power against sin. It becomes precious and alive unto us. You know, it's one thing for it to be written on the pages of this Bible. It's another thing to be written in my heart. Verse 11, keeping the word of God's words in our heart is a power against sin. That's the precious thought, dear ones. Psalms 119:69b says, I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. And when my heart is right, we will keep the principles of God's word. We will have a desire within to follow his ways and do his will. And it will be expressed in our life and practice. You know, from my wife's problems, dear ones, we learned in a full reality, what's in the heart eventually surfaces. We had no idea of my wife's heart problems, but dear ones, it eventually surfaced. And so it is true spiritually. What's in the heart will eventually surface. That's why he says, as a man thinketh, so is he. It comes out in our life. Psalms 139, 23 and 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Do we have such a desire to know God? That's what the psalmist was saying here. Allow him to search us and remove anything that is standing in the way between us and God. That was a psalmist's desire. What about mine and what about yours? Psalms 147:3 says, he healeth a broken heart. He bindeth up their wounds. The Lord wants to heal the hurts in our lives. You know, as I get around among Christians and open up their lives, there's hurts there. God wants to heal those hurts so that he can use us for his glory. Yes, he does. He wants to heal those hurts, those deep hurts in our lives, so we can be useful in his kingdom. No matter what the problem is, sometimes we hear, well, so-and-so wouldn't have. No, brother, it's right here. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We are to trust in God with all our heart. Not my own understanding, not your own understanding, dear ones. It'll take me the wrong direction. It'll take you the wrong direction. We must acknowledge God and his ways and his principles, and then the Lord will direct us. We need his direction for our life. The Lord wants us to have a heart that realizes the need of his direction in our hearts. The second part of this message is the heart the only thing that matters? Turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verses 1 to 10. As we look at Jeremiah in this passage here, the northern kingdom had already been in captivity nearly 100 years because of her sin. And Judah was just 17 years from falling to Babylon. Keep that in mind as we read this passage. Why? Let's take a look at this passage and keep that in mind as we read. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with a point of diamond. It is graven upon the tables of their heart and upon the horns of your altars, while their children remember their altars and their groves and their green trees and upon the high hills. And O the mountain in the field, and I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and the high places for sin throughout all the borders, and thou, and even thou discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh his flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord his God, in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord is. And he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots, and the rivers, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, try the reins, and even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Judah was 11 years from falling to Babylon, claiming God yet steeped in sin. So deep that they had a pen of iron, a point of diamond, engraved upon the table of their heart. Why were they so blind? We can ask the question, children of Israel, that question. But why am I so blind sometimes? Why were they so blind? They were bent on sin, claiming to be God's people. So to help them see themselves who they really were. Verse 4 says, they will serve their enemies. They didn't heed to the warning signs of the spiritual heart. Failure. They put Jeremiah in the dungeon later on. We see what happens when we don't trust God. In verse 5, we begin to trust ourselves, our own nature. That's what he says in verse 5. And we depart from God when we do that. Notice that parallel. Those who trust in themselves won't see when good cometh. He says that in verse 6. Their life will be empty. Men try to fill it with other things that don't satisfy. But in verse 7, blessed is the man that trusts the Lord, whose hope is in God. Oh, what a blessing. We see the results of trusting God, and the roots grow deeper. And they're not easily swayed when the going gets tough. The fruit still comes, whether it's smooth or difficult. We can't hide the fruit of the heart. It will come out in our life as it did in these people. It's dangerous to conclude that only the heart really matters. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, he says here. Who can know it? The Lord raises the question to the people that was going apostate here, who was bent on sin yet claiming God. They couldn't see themselves who they were. They were blind to their own needs of their own hearts. God is the one who tries the heart, he says here in verse 10, according to his ways and according to his doings. He knows what we're made of. He knows what you're made of. He knows what I'm made of. In the truest sense, the heart is all that matters. That, in the truest sense, that's true. But it will come out in our life and practice. But in this passage, these people were blind to their own hearts' condition. They separated belief and practice. Dear ones, we can't separate belief and practice. Many people say this about the heart is all that matters when they're doing questionable things. In time, the fruit of their lives will reveal what's inside the heart. It is true, Man can't see the heart, but the Lord does. He can see because of how we will respond. He can even see into the heart, and he can see how we will respond in the future. I like to look at an example of that. You know, the case that many people refer to is that verse in 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on the countenance, nor on his height, nor on his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, but looketh. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now I'd like to look at that passage in its context. This was in the context of David being king. The Lord can see inside of the heart. What are our heart characteristics like? Something about our character says something about our devotion to Christ. As we look into that, since the Lord sees our heart, he sees how we will make choices in the future. We'll look at that in a little bit as we look at 1 Samuel 16:11-18. Because of his present character, God can see that in our lives. Let's take a look at David's present character. Why God chose Samuel, chose David. 1 Samuel 16:11-18. 1 Samuel 16:11-18. Thinking about the heart and looking at David's character here. It says, then thou shalt say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken. No, sorry. Reading the wrong passage here. First Samuel 16:11-18. It says, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. And he was ruddy, and withal a beautiful countenance, and a goodly to look. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah, and the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servant, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him in. And then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and mighty and valiant man of war, prudent in matters, and a comely person. And the Lord is with him. Why did God choose Samuel? Why did God choose David? David's faithfulness in keeping the sheep. I see a willingness to do the meager things of behind the scenes while others go do the more important things. That was the character of David. That was what was in the heart of David. We need those kind of people today in our churches. A faithfulness in the everyday work. When David faced Goliath, he said, I've killed the lion and the bear. Obedience to his father. I see that come out in David's life. But in verse 18, it says, David played skillfully. He was talented. He was valiant. He was courageous. He was a man of war. He was a good soldier. He was disciplined. He knew how to take orders. He knew how to carry them out. That was David. He was prudent, the Bible says. Exercised sound judgment. Cautious in manner. Sensible and thoughtful. There are the things that came out of David's heart. God knew that whenever David was anointed. Long before that was ever expressed in David's life. God knew that. There are the things that come out in David's heart. The Lord does see long before we see, but eventually comes out. Even in David's life, the fruit that came out, what the Lord saw earlier. The Lord saw that long before men did. Now, the third part of this message is, what are some warning signs of heart failure? What are warning signs? You know, as we were there in the hospital, the doctors, they showed us videos and had different people come in, the warning signs of heart failure. They were concerned about the warning signs, and we weren't paying attention to the warning signs like we ought to have been. I thought I knew what they were. And there wasn't many of those. But dear ones, what are the warning signs of spiritual heart failure is the question that comes this afternoon. That's what I'm concerned about this afternoon. In the medical field, they're concerned about it. They're only concerned about it. They want you to do something about it. And so does God want us to do something about it. Those warning signs, dear ones, they're in the heart. God has given us some warning signs of heart failure and is very concerned. And that we prevent spiritual heart failure. That's the concern of the medical world this afternoon. In the heart, in the physical heart. They want to prevent heart failure. And so does God spiritually. He wants to prevent heart failure. You know, one of the signs of a warning signs of heart failure is a stiff heart. It makes for a weak heart. And so it does spiritually. Dear ones, and we have a stiff heart. Hebrews 3:8 says, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, and the temptation in the wilderness. You know what? Each one of us, both you and I, hold the key to a soft or hard heart. You hold that key, and so do I. If we are totally surrendered and yielded to what God has for us, we have a soft heart. But if we're beginning to keep some corner, that starts the hardening process in our lives. Acts 7:51 says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers, so do ye. Spiritual heart failure comes when we are closed to what God has for us. Yes, it does. When we are open to work of the Holy Spirit that God wants to touch, we allow Him. We won't allow Him. You know, we're not open to that work that God wants to work in us. It starts the hardening process, the stiffening process. It's a weak heart. The medical world says that. Even in the medical world, it's interesting. A stiff heart is a weak heart. So it is spiritually. When we don't have our prayer and devotional life, we lose out in communication with God, we are starting that hardening process, dear ones. The Bible says, quench not the spirit. Are we listening to that still small voice that speaks to us like we ought to? Disobeying our conscience is another one. Is a warning sign. A proud heart. What is a proud heart? Isaiah 9:9b says, in thy pride and stoutness of heart. Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though joined hand in hand, he shall not go unpunished. He will bring them low so that they could see themselves. Pride is closed to the input of others into our lives. Pride is an unteachable spirit that God hates pride. Another one is self-centeredness is a warning sign of heart failure. Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. Trusting in our own heart, dear ones, it don't work. It's self-centeredness. Luke 9:23 says, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If we are to deny ourselves, it's the opposite of self-centered life, dear ones. The more touchy we are, the more self-centered we are. We live in a world that feeds a self-centered life. Life is not about me, it's about Christ this afternoon. Sometimes it comes out in self-expressions, inner attitudes, inner conduct, inner speech, and inner dress. Trying to draw attention to me. Even in the kind of vehicles we drive. I'm not talking about Ford and Chevy either. I'm talking about and how we drive it. Either gives an expression of pride or humility. And how does it come out in our life? What's in my heart? It's going to come out. You can't hide it. The last part of this message is the signs of a healthy heart. You know, we had the signs of a heart that's in failure, but we also have signs of a healthy heart. I'm glad the scriptures gives us that. It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. The content, a happy heart, where God has placed me. You know, sometimes I hear people say, well, I just wish I was here or I was there. Be happy where God has placed you in life. That's where I need to be. Learn to be content where God has placed us. We experiences that come into our lives, we rest in God's providence. I'm so glad for God's providence, dear ones. Proverbs 15:7a, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. But the one that is contrite produces productivity, a spiritual life. Yes, they do. By our life and conduct are signs of a healthy heart. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears unto the words of knowledge. Healthy spiritual heart is always learning and willing to apply to his everyday life. That's a healthy heart. That's one of the keys to a physical heart. Physical heart is exercise. You see people running out here every day. Dear ones, I challenge you to the spiritual exercise. Myself, to the spiritual exercise. You exercise, exercise, they say. We're living in a day, and someone says it don't pay to think. They let the movies, they let the all kind entertainment world control their thinking. Dear ones, it pays to think. It pays to meditate on God's word. The Bible says so. A healthy heart brings forth good fruit. What are some other signs of a healthy heart? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Let us examine our heart. What kind of fruit's coming out of my life, or out of your life? You know, there's an orchard right beside me there. Good fruit comes from a healthy tree. You know, as my neighbor there, he prunes the fruit. He sprays it. He does all kinds of things to that fruit in order to get good fruit. He goes to great lengths to making those trees healthy. Same is true spiritually, dear ones. We can see it in our life. And then another one, proper diet makes for a healthy heart. You are what you eat. That is so true spiritually. What are you eating? What am I eating, dear ones? Brother Alan Flagel always says that, talks about that. You are what you eat. What are you eating? What are you feeding on? What am I feeding on? You are what you eat. And so it is true physically. We are what we eat. And then, you know, after my wife got home, you know, this diet thing, You know, there's the doctor said this and no salt and none of this and none of that. You know, sometimes we have to eat some things we don't like. You know, we don't, when my wife had to have no salt diet, the rest of the family just said, well, let's eat without salt too. It'd be good for us. Oh, there's some things that just don't taste good without salt. But so it is true spiritually. There's some things that we just don't like to do, like to discipline ourselves to do, but we need to do it. In our spiritual life, how valuable is that? Are we feeding on those things? You know, it takes discipline to get up early in the morning, to have a devotions every day. It takes discipline to do that. You can say, oh, I have a busy day. That don't get it, does it? Is it a priority in your life? Is it a priority in my life? About it. We need to do some things we don't, maybe not like to do. For our own spiritual good. For the spiritual good of our families. Sometimes it is. Take some things that we don't like. Turn with me your Bibles yet to Psalms 1. In Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his seasons. His leaf shall not wither, and whithersoever he goeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know what? Back to this diet thing again. A diet of good friends. That's what he's talking about here in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We have a diet of good friends. Wrong friends will take us down. Good friends is a sign of a healthy heart. The New Testament teaches us to be lovers of good men. Choose your friends carefully. You usually can tell what kind of a heart a person has by his friends. You can. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Oh, this morning, this afternoon, dear ones, what's our delight? Would you rather pick up the newspaper, a farm paper, something your business has, or would you rather pick up this Bible? Because we love the author of this book, what'd you rather do? I know sometimes it's pretty easy to pick up other things, dear ones. That's not what he says here in verse 2. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. How hungry are you for the spiritual things of life? What's my appetite? Think about our diets. My delight is feeding on God's word. Enjoy it so much I think about it day and night. Is that really where it is? I know that we're living in a day that you know much. We went from physical work to the push buttons to this mental thing up here. And I know it's more difficult and more difficult to meditate because, and I'm not talking to you out there, it's this brother right here I'm talking about. But is God, are you God conscious in your daily work? When you're sitting in front of the computer like I am, or sitting in front of the demands of employees, whatever comes to us, is it still God-centered? Is it really? What about when you're a bill collector? And sometimes I'm that too. Is Jesus coming out in that? In my life, in your life? That person is supposed to pay his bill. He's supposed to pay it last month. And now you're talking to him again. Now what? Is Jesus still coming out in my life? many areas it could be applied to. Do we enjoy it so much we think about it day and night? That's a recipe for a healthy heart, dear ones. We're talking about a healthy heart. Far too many times we enjoy the wrong things in life. We need to check our hearts. What you feed grows. What I feed grows, dear ones. What are you feeding this afternoon? What am I feeding on? Are we feeding on the spiritual things of life? The things that really matter? You know, if we are, verses 3 to 6 is a promise to us. Well, that'll be our lot. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, which bringeth forth fruit in his season. Leaf shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Dear ones, that's the results of a healthy heart. He goes on down through there. Well, in conclusion of this message, I ask you this afternoon. Do you have a green and healthy heart? From what we've said here this afternoon. Or do we have a yellow heart? Is there something there that's just not quite what it ought to be? You know, in the medical world, they're so concerned about it. Do something about it. So is God. If there's things in our heart this afternoon, this is just not quite what it ought to be. God wants us to do something about it. You know, the medical world is very concerned about those warning signs. You know, if there's something that they say that can be acted to prevent it from going further. The medical world is concerned about that. And then we have the red heart. It's an emergency. Do something now or you'll die. That's what the medical world says. But I hear God saying that spiritually about you and I this afternoon. If there's something in my heart that's urgent to be taken care of, do it now or die. That's what God is saying. God is the heart surgeon this afternoon. He'll search my heart and he's searching your heart. I trust that this afternoon that we're all in a green heart. We all have the green hearts. But for something that's not, we're ready to take care of it. We're ready to deal with it. We're ready to bring it out in our lives. Allow God to deal with it that we can have a healthy heart. God is so interested in my heart and yours. Let's pray. Let us pray.